The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 15th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulder and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." Just so I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. The Gospel of the Lord. You are in the presence of a celebrity. I bet you didn't know that, did you? That's right, though. Since I've been at Pisgah, I have been on the front page of the paper not once, but twice. And it wasn't even a wanted poster. The first time, I was on the front page because I blessed a business. And the second time, it was because I led a Bible study. I know, it doesn't seem all that impressive, does it? I was just doing my job. And so they thought, oh, there's a pastor doing his job. We'll put him on the front page of the paper. First time was on the Lake Murray News, you know, a little bit of circulation. The second time, the state paper. That's like the Wall Street Journal for South Carolina. I was even above the fold. I don't know that that's important, but apparently it is. You know who else has been above the fold on the state paper? Our president. All of them. Coaches. All of them. Sometimes that's good and sometimes that's bad. But, I mean, you know, that's an important place to be. And so, like I said, I'm a celebrity. But you know what comes with just celebrity? Well, first of all, paparazzi. I do kind of have that. If you've ever been around me at the preschool, I mean, the kids mob me like it's amazing. But the what else we get is criticism, because apparently these pictures that I took or that ended up on the front page were offensive to some people. Now, how is it that I can be offensive for doing my job? Well, to be fair, the first picture that I was in blessing business happened to be Meredith and Craig Amick's business, Hollow Creek Distillery. And so I was blessing their moonshine stills. Business is still going well too, isn't it? The second time I was in the paper, yes, I was leading a Bible study, but it was at a brew pub. And apparently that offends people. And so I got all kinds of emails and letters, not from anybody at Pisgah, mind you, but from people out there that were horribly offended that I, as a leader of the church, would associate with places like that and people like those. Crazy, isn't it? I mean, you know, seriously, Hollow Creek Distillery, that's a business owned by our church members. And the Crafty Draft, if you've never been there, they don't just have 105 beers on tap and 30 wines. It's a family-friendly atmosphere. There's a cabinet with games so you can have family game night with your kids. The food, they've got a real live chef in there. I think it's probably, now that the farmer shed's closed, it's the best restaurant here in town. I mean, especially on this side of town. So, you know, come on out to Bible study. And, you know, on the way, go out 378 and hit a distillery. It's all great. But apparently, people are offended. Because let's be honest, that's the world we live in. Everybody gets bent out of shape over everything. We stay bent out of shape these days, don't we? I mean, nowadays, if you hold the door for somebody, they're going to get offended. Or if you say, "Yes, ma'am," or "Yes, sir," somebody's going to get offended by that. In the South, if you don't say, "Yes, ma'am," or "Yes, sir," you get offended. That's the way things go for us, right? Everything is offensive. Do you know, I saw online, that there is a cheerleading squad in North Carolina that was put on probation by the State Athletic Association because they held up a Trump 2020 poster. Now, I know people don't like the president, but really, we're so offended by seeing that that we can't even, that we have to put kids on probation for it? Now, some of you are sitting there, oh yeah, they should. And some of you are like, silly liberals, but I can get you too, because how do you feel about somebody taking a knee on a football field during the national anthem? Crazy, isn't it? Why would anybody do such a thing? Well, we can take a knee before God, but the flag's too good for that. And see what I just did? Everybody in this room is now offended. And that's my point. I don't care who you are, we live in the nation of the offended. And even we, yes, we find ourselves getting offended at things. Things that maybe we even shouldn't. But you know what is the most offensive thing there is out there? God. God is horribly offensive. Just ask people that don't believe, right? I mean, these days, if there's a public prayer, somebody's calling somebody to complain. There are certain places, if you work there, you're not allowed to have anything religious at all on your desk. Why? Because if somebody sees it, I guess they'll catch on fire or something? I mean, people are offended if you wear like Christian clothing, like a cross or something. Maybe they're vampires. I don't know. But you know, why is this stuff so offensive? Is God really that mean, that judging, that condemning? No. But Christians are. Let's be honest, we're the reason that so many outsiders are offended by Christ, because we're the ones that are judging. We're the ones that are condemning. We're the ones spewing hate-filled speech about those blank people. And we all know who those blank people are. It's different for every single one of us. Sometimes some people fill that blank with a race or a sexual preference, or maybe they fill that blank with another gender or people from another country or people that speak a different language. Maybe you fill that blank with people in your own life that you just can't stand. But for one reason or another, we don't like those blank people. And their very existence offends us. But see, here's the reality. This is who should be offended by God. And it ain't them. It's us. Because let me tell you, folks, God is offensive. Especially to us. I mean, were you not offended by the gospel reading that I just read? You should have been. You should have been very offended. See, Jesus was with some sinners and tax collectors, and the scribes and Pharisees showed up, and they were a little upset that Jesus would be doing this. And you know what? We should be too. Because the reality is this, the scribes and the Pharisees, they were the very religious people of the day. They weren't these awful folks, they were the churchgoers. And it would be like this, if Jesus came today, he wouldn't be hanging out here, even though we're the ones that showed up to hang out with him. He'd be hanging out with those blank people instead. Starting to get offended yet? Well, just wait. Because then it says that Jesus tells a couple parables. He says, God's like this. You know, who among you would not, if you had 99 sheep, 100 sheep and lost one, leave the 99 and go search for the one, and then when you come back, put it on its shoulders and throw a party? And who among you, if you lost a coin, wouldn't search the whole house, light a lamp and find it, and then once you did, throw a party? Now see, the phrase, who among you would do this or wouldn't do this, it's kind of misleading because it makes you think that we would. No, we wouldn't. It makes no sense whatsoever to do that. If you leave the 99 in the wilderness, that's not safe for them, especially when you're leaving them for the one. And it doesn't make any sense at all when you're dealing with a drachma, which is worth about 5 to 8 cents these days, to drop it on the ground and you're going to tear apart your whole house looking for a nickel. Who's going to do that? And then who's going to throw a party when they find it? Much less, who's going to go to a party for the crazy lady who's throwing a party for a nickel? And in this story, who do you think it is that's offensive? It's God. But now, who are we in the story? See, our first step is this. We think that we're the one, right? We're the one that's lost. We're that sheep that wandered off, or we're that coin. And we are. As fallen, broken sinners, we sometimes get lost. We get lost in the weeds of life. We do things that are harmful to ourselves and to others, and we don't walk the path we're going to walk. And yes, God stops at nothing to come and find us and bring us back to the fold. But see, that's not the only folks that we are in this story. The truth is that the target of this story is best understood with the third parable, the one that is not actually in our text but comes right after this one. It's very familiar, though. It's the parable of the prodigal son. You all know this one, right? There's the young son. There's a guy that's got two sons. The young son comes to him and says, "Daddy, give me everything that I'm going to get when you die, because I'm tired of being with you right now." And so he takes his inheritance and goes off. And you know what he does? He blows it. Throws parties. It's awesome. But then when the famine hits, he runs out of money. Finds himself in a literal pigsty. Not just my bedroom, a literal pigsty. And he comes to his senses and realizes, you know what? My dad's slaves have it better than I do. Actually, these pigs are eating better than I am right now. So he comes up with a speech in his head. He's like, "Okay, Father, I have sinned against God and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Receive me as a hired hand." So, you know, he goes on back home, and you know the whole time he's like rehearsing the speech over and over in his head. "God, Father, I've sinned against God and before you. You know, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son." And so he gets there, and the father from a long way away sees him. And what does he do? He stands up and he runs. Now, what you got to understand is, for a Jewish man to run in those days was extremely embarrassing. That's something children do, not grown men. This man didn't care. He ran to him. And the son immediately starts into his spiel. "Father, I've sinned before God and against you." And the father just cuts him off mid-sentence and says, "You're home. I love you." He puts a ring on his finger, kills a fatted calf, throws him a big party. But then there's the brother. You know, the older brother that stayed behind, the one that kept doing all the work, the one that followed the rules and showed up for church every Sunday and read his Bible, that one, he don't want to go to the party. Because this guy goes off and blows everything and he gets a party. And what do we get? See, God's love is offensive. And that's why it's called grace. It is offensive to us because when we realize that it's not just for you and me, that it's for those blank people too, it's offensive, isn't it? Because they don't deserve it. They shouldn't get God's love, God's grace, God's mercy. No, that's not the way it should be. So we get our feelings hurt when God extends grace to everyone. But here's the thing, my friends. Not our choice. It's not our call. And it's not really our right to get offended. Because God's grace, God's love, God's mercy is extended to everyone. No matter what. That's the way it is. That's why it's called grace. And I don't know about you, but I'm tired of being in the nation of the offended. I'm tired of being offended and offending everyone. You know, I can be downright offensive myself. A few years ago, I was in a Facebook discussion on an ELCA clergy page. You know, a bunch of pastors. And I was told that, you know, I think I said something and, you know, said, "Oh, well, I guess I was wrong." And then so I was told that as a white heterosexual male that I needed to embrace being wrong because, you know, usually with the way that I am, I get to be right all the time. And so, you know, okay, that's fine. And I said, "Well, I've been married 23 years. I've been wrong for 2 decades. That's what I expected them to do too. But no, apparently that was equivalent to me calling my wife an evil shrew. When I told her about it, she said, "Well, that's true. I mean..." But people are just so ready to be offended. And we got to stop that, folks. We got to stop. And so the way that we stop that is, first off, we realize it ain't all about you. It's not all about you. The world doesn't revolve around you. And you know what? People are allowed to live their lives differently, and that's okay. They're allowed to act the way they want to act. They're allowed to say what they want to say. They're allowed to believe the way they want to believe, and that's okay. And we've got to be okay with that. Because let me tell you, Jesus was not hanging out with the people that were saying, you got to be this way. Jesus was hanging out with the sinners and the tax collectors. He was hanging out with those blank people. And that's where we got to go to. The second thing we got to do is we need to start helping in the search. We need to be on that search committee. We need to be on that search party and realize that there are lost people out there. There are people that don't know about God's grace, about God's love and mercy. They feel alone, abandoned, and rejected, and they need to know that there is something else out there, that there is something better, and there is one that loves them and seeks them out no matter what. And that's our job to show them. And so that's what we need to do. So I want you to look around this room. Look around, especially those of you who have been here for a long time. Look around. Or imagine, if not this, imagine the worship space that you're used to being in. Look around and tell me, what's the one thing that you would just have a cow if it went away? Or if we added? Some people would not be able to handle it if the color of the carpet changed, or if we started painting everything blue, or if we put screens up, or a rock band, or something like that. But here's the question. If taking that away or bringing that in could find one lost person, is it worth it? It is to God. And that's offensive. So let's be offended together, huh? Let's pray. Gracious God, you love us with a crazy kind of offensive love, and for that we are forever grateful. Help us to share that love with the world. In Jesus' name, amen.